Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, 6 dead, 140 injured in last night's deadly train crash in Philadelphia. President Barack Obama talks poverty at Georgetown, but why is it that folks are afraid to even say poor white people? Plus, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio forgot black folks' contract with America when it came to mass incarceration, a huge issue. And they're not trying to play catch up. We actually talked to him. You will hear from him about that. Also, Dr. Louis Sullivan shares his life from the segregated South to the U.S. Department of Health in his new autobiography. Plus, the Wild and Out Wednesday comedians are ready to bring the funk. All that more coming up right now on News One Now on TV One. Investigators are at the scene right now in Philadelphia trying to figure out what caused a deadly train crash last night. At least 6 people were killed and 140 injured when an Amtrak train traveling from Washington, D.C. to New York derailed and rolled on its side. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter arrived shortly after the accident last night.
Been down on the tracks on the scene with my staff. It is an absolute disastrous mess. Never seen anything like this in my life, and most personnel will say that as well.
All train service between New York and D.C. has been shut down on that rail. That's going to cost, some say, that's $100 million that's earned on that rail line itself. And so they're still trying to figure out exactly what took place. Again, many folks are still hospitalized. But again, 6 folks have been killed, and we'll give you more details as we get them. Folks, on March 6th, 2015, Madison, Wisconsin, unarmed teenager Tony Robinson was killed by police officer Matt Kinney. Well, yesterday, an announcement was made that Kinney will not face charges. Tony Robinson was shot 7 times by Matt Kinney. Here's what the district attorney, Ismael Ozane, had to say. I concluded that this tragic and unfortunate death was a result of a lawful use of deadly police force and that no charges should be brought against Officer Kinney in the death of Tony Robinson Jr. There were numerous folks who were protesting last night. They have been protesting since March as well. I also, this morning, the Tom and Jordan Morning Show, I caught up with Tony's mother, Andrea Irwin, and she said she will do all that she can to continue to fight for justice when it comes to her son. Joining us right now, leader of the Boys and Girls Club in the area there, Michael Johnson. He joins us via FaceTime. Michael, glad to have you. What's next? I mean, here's another case. Young man shot and killed. In talking to his mother that particular night, he was with some friends. They had tried some mushrooms. There was a bad reaction. And this officer claims that he came into the home, went up 8 flights of stairs, was punched by Johnson, falls down, goes outside, back onto the porch. He claims all of this happened in a span of 20 seconds. A lot of folks saying we're not buying that.
Yeah, I think a lot of our young people are struggling, our community is struggling with this issue. I think the fact that the district attorney, you know, is releasing all the information out today, that our community will get an opportunity to look at those facts. The one thing that I can say, I was with the family last night and out in the community last night, and what you saw in our city, you saw people voicing their concerns, you saw heightened emotion, but the one thing that you didn't see our citizens looting, you didn't see people flipping over cars. There were peaceful protests. The family has asked the community to voice their concerns, but do it in a peaceful way. And so my prayers goes out to the family. And the real issue in our community, Madison is one of the safest cities in the United States. But we have some of the largest racial disparities in the country. When you look at unemployment rates, when you look at the racial achievement gap, when you look at mass incarceration, many of the issues that you see in larger cities, you see them in Madison, Wisconsin.
But you talk about being safe. You also have in Madison there a extremely high rate of black men who were shot and killed by police, higher than that of many major cities in America.
Yeah, our city, 5% of our population is African American. But then when you look at the Dane County Jail, 44% of the inmates in that jail makes up African American. And then when we have graduation rates of African American men, young men graduating at 50-something percent, that's a situation that we have to change. The unemployment rate, there's a 20% gap between African Americans and our white counterparts. Our community has been talking about those issues. And the reality is, those are the issues that we have to address. If we want to keep young people safe, we have to make sure that they graduate from high school. We have to make sure that we employ their parents. And at the end of the day, we have to invest in these young people. Also, the African American Council of Churches recently sent a letter to every police department in our county to look at the policies as it relates to excessive force by police officers.
As I said, I talked to Andrea Irwin, the mother of Tony, on the Tom Turner Morning Show this morning. Here's what she had to say.
Investigation, and my lawyers took everything back yesterday to read over all of their investigation. We've been doing our own 2-month investigation, and I am absolutely, this is not the end for me. This would be the beginning. I'm not going to sit down and let Matt Kenny get away with murdering my son when it's pretty much obvious to everybody who can see this, the way it really went, that he murdered him and he did it in cold blood. So I'll take this as far as I have to, and to the day I take my last breath. But this will not, it's not over.
I want to bring in Attorney Scott Bolton. Scott, on these particular issues that we see, part of the concern that people have is that it's rare when an officer gets charged.
Absolutely.
And there's this just consistent belief that until police officers are held accountable when they are killing unarmed individuals, this is not going to change.
It's not. If you look across the country, small cities, big cities, urban America, country America, we keep seeing the same parallel, the same story, don't we? And the only consistency in that equation is the police. And so there are options for this family. There's the DOJ criminal, civil rights criminal division.
Now, they haven't launched one yet. Uh-huh. I asked the mother about that this morning. She said the DOJ, they have not launched anything in this case.
They're certainly looking at it, though. Mm-hmm. There's a civil suit. And you see, the fact that he was cleared, this officer was cleared from any criminal wrongdoing, the standard is very different on the civil side, or even whether they violated this young man's civil rights. And that's got to be pursued, because the police are the only occupation where you can make a mistake, you can be wrong, you can use bad judgment, and you can kill someone, and at the same time not be criminally prosecuted, be on the job. We got to take another look at that. We have to look at training and this police culture of us versus them.
Absolutely, Scott. Sure, appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us as well.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks for having me.
Folks, coming up, we're going to talk about Mayor Bill de Blasio's contract with America dealing with income inequality and what's up when it comes to the issue of mass incarceration. Also, President Barack Obama yesterday was at Georgetown University talking about how do we fight poverty, yet something never came up. White people. I'm going to break it down for you. It's 8 minutes after the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Well, yesterday, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio released his contract with America here in Washington, D.C., surrounded by a number of supporters. The plans to focus on fighting for income inequality. But there were a number of issues mentioned. You talk about a minimum wage. You're talking about the issue of child care, immigration, dealing with trade. But there was nothing in the original contract dealing with mass incarceration, dealing with public education. And so there were a lot of people who criticized him. So yesterday at the news conference, they announced, well, we're going to be adding those planks later. And I actually caught up with Mayor de Blasio earlier to actually talk about that. Mayor, when it comes to the contract with America, I heard from a lot of people when it was initially reported who were upset that mass incarceration was not a part of the contract. You addressed that in the news conference.
Yes.
So talk about that in terms of what's going to happen with that issue.
We're bringing that right back to our coalition, which is now about 100 key leaders, and I think everyone's going to embrace it. Mass incarceration undermines the economic future of so many young men of color in particular. And I think we have to look at income inequality in the broad context also of criminal justice reform. The goal of fighting income inequality in this country is going to mean a tremendous amount of reform. It's going to mean progressive taxation, things like closing the carried interest loophole and the Buffett rule. It's going to take supporting families with things like paid family leave and pre-K. It's certainly going to take raising wages and benefits. I'm a big believer in the $15 minimum wage. But we have other realities that are structural. There's structural racism in this country. Mass incarceration flows exactly out of that. We have to go four square that. In New York City right now, we are intensely reducing the flow of particularly young men of color into our correctional system with bail reform, summons reform, a host of things, mental health services. And I think this is part of what we have to do nationally to stop that pipeline to prison and then help those returning to become really a part of the economy.
Other than pre-K, education also a huge, huge issue when it comes to income inequality. Where does that fit in specifically? Because you're dealing with this in New York, the idea also of school choice, where you have traditional public schools, you have charters, you have magnets, you have all these different options. Mm-hmm. What role does that play? Is it anywhere in this contract?
Well, pre-K is, early childhood education is, because that's bluntly been the missing link all over this country. I mean, we finally now, next year in New York City, will have full-day high-quality pre-K for every child guaranteed. It's going to be about 70,000 kids a year getting it in New York City. But all over this country, a full-day pre-K, half-day pre-K is not a guarantee. And if we are going to have a successful education system, we have to start a foundation. That's literally the best time to reach people and reach kids, I should say, and put them on the right path.
So anything after pre-K? Anything in this contract?
Not in this contract yet, although we talk about child care, we talk about after-school programs. But I think the fact is, if you're trying to address income inequality, of course, there are many, many important things we could do. We're trying to start with the core. Wages, benefits, progressive taxation, the kinds of things that would lay a foundation for addressing income inequality in this country. And bluntly, all the things that are not happening on Capitol Hill right now.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Joining me right now, of course, Attorney Scott Bolden, also Michelle Jawando. We have Parrish Jannard and Lauren Victoria Burke. All right, let's get right into it. Look, he got pressure. I know for a fact because the folks were calling me over the weekend. He got lots of pressure to say there's no way you can have a contract with America that is progressive and you don't deal with the issue of mass incarceration.
Well, I don't know who his 100-person coalition is. I mean, this is a man who's mayor of New York City, has a black son, and fails to point out something that is pertinent to his own family, let alone all the rest of the people that are in the community. I think this contract is a joke. Ed Miliband in the UK put his contract on stone, and that failed to get him elected. And I think this is just a distraction rehabilitation effort for the mayor to try to up his poll numbers and become more relevant in 2016. It has no teeth.
See this type of an announcement, you don't see specific policy reference, there's a problem. You can't have John Conyers standing at your press conference and not reference his racial profiling bill. He had the subcommittee chair on crime, Sheila Jackson Lee, at the press conference, doesn't reference any crime policy bill. The Redeem Act, right. The Youth Promise Act, the Fair Justice Act, Cleaver's bill that basically stops local jurisdictions from taxing people, you know, for writing tickets for revenue. He could have mentioned, de Blasio could have mentioned any of that legislation, either federal or something local he's doing, maybe the city council's doing in New York. I mean, he's a lot of options because he's a mayor. He mentions none of that policy in this press.
I do not believe the contract is a joke. The issue for me was the fact that here you have folks in the streets protesting, thousands of people. You have Republicans who have come around on this issue who are saying, look, fiscally we can't afford this. And so, Michelle, I get we're going to add planks later, but the reality is when you make this announcement and then you lay out this whole agenda, people look at actually what's on that agenda, not what you added 3 days later.
The reality is, and when you talk about the progressive community, for a really long time, issues around criminal justice reform were in this kind of small silo.
Because they were scared of being called soft on crime.
Right, because we couldn't talk about it. And for years, you saw Democrats, particularly from states like New York, who weren't able to talk about crime. crime after the 94 crime bill. And so what's happening now is in the last 3 years, really since Trayvon Martin, you've seen this kind of increased pressure on people from both sides of the spectrum to talk about criminal justice reform, not as this kind of side niche issue, but as something that is central to all American people. Why? 100 million Americans have a criminal record today. We know for a fact that criminal records are both a cause and a consequence of poverty. So you can't talk about income inequality without talking about criminal justice.
And of course, Scott, when you talk about income inequality, what you're dealing with is a reality that if you do go into that particular system and then all of a sudden you come out and you're a felon, you can't get a job, you can't be able to check that box every single time. And so now you're likely going to go back into it. And so it just repeats itself. So if you're talking about income inequality, mass incarceration, and also I asked him also about education. Now, he's having real issues in New York when it comes to school choice and charters, but you got thousands of parents, a lot of black parents, who are saying, man, I ain't going to that public school. I want to go to this charter school over here because I want my kid to get education.
He's for school privatization. That's why I didn't bring it up.
Well, but he's been fighting even Moskowitz in New York on that, and because the teachers union has been saying no more charter schools.
But Roland, it's a credibility issue. I don't know who the 100 progressive white liberals were that got together.
There were some black folks in Spanish
okay.
too.
Well, where were their the voice on criminal justice? You cannot talk about the economy and income inequality without talking about black folks and poor people, black or white. You simply can't. The economy and economic empowerment is about jobs. If these young black kids, young poor white kids, had jobs, income, could work, could buy a home, could put their kids through education, could provide health care to themselves and to their families, that would eliminate 75% of the problems in urban America.
Let's not go
general. So you can't. I'm not going general.
You are going
what
general.
What I'm saying is, you can't talk about improving income inequality without talking about the mass incarceration rate, which is creating a underground economy in most of our communities.
And it has to be a foundational issue.
The mayor is for broken windows policing. This is why I say don't go general. There's some very specific things in New York specifically that happened to black and Latino men, including like stop and frisk, which was stopped, by the way, by a court case, not by the mayor. So he is for broken windows policing because he's afraid of Bill Bratton. That's what this is about. That's why he mentioned it.
But he didn't talk about it yesterday.
Well, and again, it did come up. And here, show this tweet, please. It was a tweet that they sent out before the news conference. Money spent on prison, better spent on education, jobs. We'll work with the Reverend Al Sharpton, Van Jones, and H. McGee to end mass incarceration.
Work with them on what?
So
work with them.
Let's also not just put the onus on Mayor de Blasio. Also standing next to him.
He came to Washington
with Senator Elizabeth Warren. And so these same questions we need to be asking to everyone who is talking about this populist progressive agenda.
And the reason that's important because as you go into this political season, again, what has to happen is you can't let white progressives off the hook to talk about, as Rashad Robinson, the Color Change, called it, sort of these race-neutral sort of initiatives.
But they have immigration reform on there.
I got you.
If they have immigration reform on there, I suspect they had a lot of Hispanic leaders in the room, but nobody needed to say that
right.
for that to be on the list.
Oh, tight.
It's not priorities, and this is not a priority to them, clearly.
And I will say, paid family leave, early universal pre-K will help everyone. But the question is, when you talk about values and morals and contracts with the American
right.
people, we can't forget what incarceration has
Absolutely.
Done to communities in
Absolutely.
This country.
Coming up next, we talk about the whole issue of the income inequality and poverty. Yesterday, President Barack Obama was at Georgetown talking about the issue of poverty. Guess what? White people never came up. Wait till I explain to you why this is important. Also, Dr. Louis Sullivan is here with his autobiography, won the NAACP Image Award, talked about growing up in the segregated South and working in the administration of President George H.W. Bush. 22 after the hour, News One Now on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now. with Roland Martin. Roland
Dr. Louis Sullivan has lived a life that few could even imagine. He grew up in the segregated South, founded the Morehouse College of Medicine, served as a U.S. Secretary of Health. He details his inspiring life in a new autobiography called Breaking Ground, My Life in Medicine. It won this year's NAACP Image Award. He joins us right here. And, of course, he's also a man of Alpha Phi Alpha. Glad to have you here, Doc.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This is interesting when you talk about your life in medicine, but it really goes beyond medicine. I mean, this is an American story.
Well, thank you. That's really the life that I've lived. And it really has been challenging, but also very satisfying. I've had opportunities to do things that I think are significant, not only for me, but to serve others, because this is a value system that my parents infused in me when I was growing up. During the segregated South back in the 30s and 40s, things were difficult, but we were a very strong family, very cohesive. My parents, I cannot say enough good things of my admiration for them, which I did not recognize at the time. Mm-hmm. And what I've been able to do is because of what they did. They were really role models. They were people of dignity, integrity, and wanted to live lives of service, which they did. And I really benefited greatly from the environment they created for me and my brother, who was a year and a half older. So they were committed to us getting a strong education. In rural Georgia, where we were living at the time, although I'd been born in Atlanta, schools were not very good. So they sent me and my brother back to Atlanta to attend schools. We lived with friends, and we'd go home to Blakely during the summers and Christmas time and Thanksgiving. But they were determined that we would get a strong education.
I want to stay on that point. I was reading James Anderson's book, Education of Blacks in the South, 1860 to 1935, and he talked about the fervor of ex-slaves. First of all, when folks were in slavery, but also after slavery, and we saw that go through. Is it disheartening when you don't see across the board that fervor today of black parents who say, I don't care what's going on. If there's one thing you are going to do, you are going to get an education, even if I don't know how to read.
Oh, yes. That was very clear with my parents. They were determined that we, my brother Walter and I, were going to get an education because this was during the Depression. We'd moved from Atlanta to rural Georgia, where my father established a black funeral home, the first black funeral home in that town, because he had been, prior to that, a life insurance salesman. People weren't buying life insurance during the Depression. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Blakely. He established a funeral home, but he did a lot of other things. He also established the first chapter of the NAACP. He worked to get blacks the right to vote because there was a white primary there. He started the annual Emancipation Day celebration, January 1st of every year. And because of that, he was persona non grata in town. My mother was a school teacher. They lived there 20 years, from 1937 to 1957. My mother never got a position teaching school in Blakely, Georgia, or in Early County, because that was the white community's retaliation. She taught in towns 14 to 40 miles away during that 20 years. But they were determined that my brother and I, would have a better life than they did.
What was it, creating the Morehouse School of Medicine, what was it like for you to stand on that stage and see those graduates come across that stage, knowing full well the dearth of African Americans in medicine?
That was really very fulfilling, very inspiring, because, see, in Blakely, there was no black physician. There was a black physician 41 miles south in Bainbridge, the only black physician in southwest Georgia. He was my inspiration. He was my role model.
What was his name?
Dr. Joseph Griffin. He had his own clinic. It was a brick clinic in Bainbridge, Georgia. He lived in a brick house. You walked in his clinic, you'd smell ether, and he would be wearing his green scrubs. So he was somebody special. He could do things that nobody else could do. So I wanted to be like Dr. Griffin. That was what inspired me throughout the rest of my career. And when I went to medical school, it was with the idea I was going to be returning to Georgia to practice like Dr. Griffin. But in medical school, I learned a lot about medicine I hadn't known before. So I ended up as a medical researcher, a hematologist, and teacher on the faculty at Boston University School of Medicine. So when the opportunity arose for me to return to Atlanta to form the Morehouse School of Medicine, it was with great enthusiasm I did that. So when we then admitted our first class some 3 years after I'd started, that was really very fulfilling.
Got to ask you about the Affordable Care Act, and we were talking about this during the break. When you look at who benefits from it, you grew up in, you talk about rural Georgia. The reality is, when you look at the health stats, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and I have consistently said to this White House that, you know what, Mr. President, go to those places and literally look many of those whites in the eye and say, this law was created for you. This is not for black folks in the inner city. This is not for Hispanics as well. This is for all Americans, because many of the folks with the poorest health stats in this country are living, who are poor whites living in the South.
Yes, that's true. Indeed, there are more poor whites than there are poor blacks, but people don't realize that. And in fact, one of the things I've been involved in is the development of the National Institute for Minority Health and Health Disparities. The reason it is called And Health Disparities is because poor whites really have the same problems that poor blacks do. High blood pressure, stroke, cancer, poor nutrition, high infant mortality rates, all of those. So indeed, this Affordable Care Act is to address all of our citizens, because if people are healthy, they can be independent. They can work, earn wages, pay taxes, rather than being on support systems, on welfare. So indeed, the Affordable Care Act is to address the health of all Americans.
Folks, the book is called Breaking Ground, My Life in Medicine, by Dr. Lewis W. Sullivan. It was the foreword was written by Ambassador Andrew Young. Always good to see you. Like the pocket square. He even got the pocket square on the book cover. That's right. See, that's when you know you got a good dressing alpha man. I certainly appreciate it, Doc. Thank you so very much. Folks, coming up next, our comedian Skiba, Nikki Moore, and Antoine Blackman in the house. Time for a little fun, Wild or Not Wednesday, 14 before top of the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Birthday shout-out time. Singer Darius Rucker turns 49. NBA Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman turns 54. And legendary singer-songwriter Stevie Wonder turns 65. All right, folks, it's hump day. Time for our Wild Night Wednesday comedians in the house. All that noise y'all heard when we were sitting here coming back from break with Skiba, who had the audacity, unmitigated gall to talk about me driving like it's hot when he couldn't even go halfway down. Skiba actually went down and stuck his butt out. No, they ain't driving like it's hot. But anyway, here I guess, from the Five Heartbeats, Antoine Blackman.
Yeah, I got my Eddie Kane thing going on.
Hell?
Bling, I still
what?
Got it.
No, you're right. That's bling, because it's not bling. Hey, we got
my birthday suit.
It's your birthday suit?
Yeah, my birthday tomorrow. Man.
That's Freddie Black's shit.
Yeah. Kevin Hart said he wanted to be the king of rock and roll.
Right. But just in case he don't remember which jacket is his.
Yeah, right. He got the initials on it.
Right.
CDEFG. And the OJ looking for the jacket you stole. And we got Nikki Moore in the house. Hey. Nikki, how you doing?
Look who's back.
Oh, Lord. Brought her grandma back. And look at Nikki. Nikki had matched the color of my suit.
She brought her co-host. Right.
She brought her co-host.
That's what it is.
We coordinated.
Yeah, we coordinated. I told her what color suit I was wearing, and she changed her hair.
Yes, I did.
And we have Skiba down there. His wife dresses him, so if y'all got problems, blame her.
What?
You the one said your
I
wife
said
dress
because,
you.
You know what? That's what you do when you married, man. I dress for my wife.
Stop.
I don't dress
that,
for
that's
nobody
what you
else.
Do when you married? What?
Yeah, because
what?
I dress
you,
for
you
my wife.
You need a woman to dress you?
No, but
Antoine, who dress you?
A boutique?
Well, I actually got this jacket made just for you, bro.
It was a team of people.
Yeah.
Team black people. This together.
It was amazing.
I said, going on a roll.
Yo, you need to, whoever, y'all, one of y'all need to zoom in.
Zoom in.
Zoom in.
Look at the details. On, yeah,
shout out to Kashir.
I mean, that is.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Blanking. Hey, I look like I'm Hollywood, man.
That's straight.
I don't know.
Actually, that's a Bishop Eddie Long jacket. Y'all know each other?
But I don't know about y'all, but when I look at that jacket, I want some Indian food. I don't know. I just want some Indian food. You know what I'm saying? Something spicy.
But you do got the picnic table.
Nah, baby. This player right here, baby. This 2 year in a row right here.
Well, you know, you got the flag going and the polka dot.
That's right.
Hold on. Is that a real pocket square or is that a pre-made one?
No, baby. It's real, baby. It's real. See, it ain't like that.
It's a bow tie. It's a bow tie, nigga.
That's a bow tie stuck
in. It ain't like that powder puff you got yours. This right here is for grown men. Here.
Okay,
first of all, anybody
knows.
That's a Shabor.
Shabor. That's just polka dot. But Nikki, you just had to dress your grandma up this time.
Yeah, she did that for you because she, you know, I told you she loved Roland Martin. Yes. So she wear a good church pearls to the Roland Martin show. She doesn't going to come on here. Like, it's Roland. Yeah, he did it this day.
We kind of match.
I'm sorry, she only like dead powder people.
Okay.
She don't want nobody alive.
If I rub her, can I play the number today and win?
But if you cremate yourself,
she gonna rub your head, play the number. You better back up, Skeever.
Cougar.
You better back up, Skeever.
Listen, she on the weed and everything now.
You better back up.
Weed. It's legal.
Oh, okay. I thought Ski was about to have a flashback when you said weed. And you saw he got real quiet. Hold up. Here's a question. I got who brought this dude right here?
Antoine.
Who the hell is this?
That's
your cameraman.
Get a shot of this fool, Steven.
Did nobody ask you to talk? Y'all, he gonna walk in my studio. Hold on. That's enough. We done with him. He gonna walk in the studio and gonna go, roll. I'm like,
yeah, he did.
The hell is snapping his finger at me?
Like you was Uber.
Boy, you about to straight get your.
But I see your face
No, it's about to be some furniture moving up in here. That's what's about to happen. I'm like, this fool snapped his finger at me one more time.
And you looked up.
Okay. No, he snapped twice and I went, yeah. Some fool snapped. He like, rally, rock. Got my attention.
All right,
you got my attention with that Gumby haircut you got on too. We going to a break. I ain't hating Shumpert. Are you serious? You win a short sleeve shirt with a tie. Boy gone. I'm going to a break. Roland Martin, News 1-9.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now. With Roland Martin.
Yo, we back on the show. This boy ain't even on the show, and he's still talking.
Oh, he on the show.
And then walked up here on the set. Dude, you what? And he ashy.
It's Antoine people back.
That boy got ashy ankles and hands. Antoine, you come on, because.
I guess the suit.
I don't know what the
heck.
I mean, I know we on a black network, but you ain't security gonna be dealing with your behind in a little bit. Security gonna deal with him because you know Henry a part time bouncer.
Oh, for real?
Right.
Yeah, I can tell he part time. I can tell how he shakes.
Where's AJ?
AJ's not here, Nikki.
Could you put AJ back on Wednesday?
Hey, y'all understand? AJ.
Oh my God.
AJ is a camera on the show. Cameraman on the show. And AJ what by six? What AJ by 6'2", 6'3", 6'4"? And Nikki.
Green mouth, ugly cute. What?
Green mile ugly.
Sorry, I had a mile.
How you gonna call that man? How you gonna call AJ Green mile ugly cute?
He is.
Walking a mile.
Come on now. Not Michael Clark Duncan. Come on now.
She needs somebody. She tall, man. This is a tall woman right here. She can't.
Oh, but the mayor, New York Mayor de Blasio, he totally wants me. He was like, finally, somebody normal height. I was like,
his wife is black.
What's wrong with the world? Oh, I could tell. I could tell by the way he was looking at me.
A little swirl in
your life. Know, he had that look. It was a twinkle, not terror.
So you down with the swirl, Nikki?
Yes.
Antoine, you down with the swirl?
I just like hood rats, you know. So
I know, I couldn't tell that.
If you're shopping in the Rainbow, hey, you my boo.
So you need a hood rat who can glue on some stuff on.
Hey, but look.
So she can bedazzle you.
Right. So she bedazzle. Oh, give it up for Skiba. He actually used a big word.
I appreciate that.
He said bedazzle.
What did I get, 50 points for that?
He said bedazzle.
Do I get 50?
Yes, in the proper, a big word in the proper context.
Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the love. Thank y'all for the love.
I got one question. You keep coming for my jacket.
I'm not coming for your jacket. Your jacket is coming for all of us.
Hey, but look,
your jacket is leaning on all of us. In fact, there's somebody sitting at home right now who now believes your jacket is hanging in their closet because it's just screaming at them.
Hey,
I mean, I'm just saying.
It's my birthday jacket.
That's your birthday jacket. Yes. No, that's your funeral jacket. That's what it is. Because you know black folks. Because see right there, I'm letting you know, Antoine, right now, between now and ever, you getting buried in that jacket. I'm just letting you know right now.
I hope my jacket is trending right now.
But help me out, though. Antoine, help me out, though. You cannot wear that jacket with a brown T-shirt.
Is this on both sides?
It's on both sides.
Oh, my God.
What? What's
that? Showroom.
Let me see. Let me see what I got on.
Rolling. The thing got is like automatic. No, it's not on that side. You got to turn around.
Let me see.
Look. With a switch.
Look.
Let me see. Oh, what the hell is that?
It's like a built-in pocket thing.
This boy got some ribbons on his doggone jacket. Oh, Lord. But you know, I know what that is. That was some extra stuff left. And they were like, they were just, hell, he ain't going to
make it. I tell you what that is.
Just a second.
We're
going for your jacket and that brown T-shirt you got on.
That is hood black.
All right, y'all. We got to go. I'm going to see y'all tomorrow. Holla.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.